I mean, when I just sat down right here to get on with a teaching session, I was taken right into a vision, and I saw a door, and you know, as I look at this door in the vision that I see, I almost see like a certain key was needed to open a door. Then suddenly, I hear an instruction to the door to be open without the key. And then the door gets open. It opens at its own accord. Now, this is what the Lord is saying. Via these two teaching sessions, majority of you, or many of you, are going to enter into the ministry. And whatever it is that has been hindering you or from stopping you, it gives way as God's instructive word comes forth. So it's a very supernatural happening that we have in this place, in a sense that people are walking into their ministries, and many are not turning back. That's what the Lord says. He says there'll be no turning back. So just so you know, that's what's happening in the realm of the spirit, is that I'm giving you the opportunity via the teaching of God's word to walk into that very place that God has called you, and into that very place that God has ordained for you. So just as I see in the spirit's realm, there will be no turning back. And every door that needs to open for you, you are walking into it. You're walking into it. You're walking into it. Father, thank you for this evening. And thank you, Lord, that doors of ministries are being opened. Now, when I say doors of ministries, I want to put on some caution in there. We're not saying that go and start a ministry. We're saying that the same ministry that has been given to you via your pastor, which is me, the same ministry, that thing that we have committed into your hands, you're going to walk into it very easily and very supernaturally in Jesus' name. So after this teaching, something will change about your ministry. I want you to believe it. Something will change about your ministry in Jesus' name. Father, thank you that men are walking right into what you have called them and what you have ordained them for, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Say to Archippus, Colossians chapter 4, verses 17. Colossians chapter 4, verses 17. So we're looking at say to Archippus. From our last week's teaching, we got to realize how that Archippus was a fellow soldier, and Paul was dishing out some salutations, but right in there, he calls a guy by the name Archippus, and he gives him a very stern instruction. I wouldn't want to call that an encouragement, even though it could be an encouragement. But there was a very stern instruction given to Archippus. I said last week that Archippus was a very symbolic name, and it could directly apply to us today in the ministry. So Paul is saying that Archippus, call yourself in your room, say Lillian or Helen or Ivan. I want you to call yourself. So Pascal, take heed to the ministry. Archippus, wake up to what God has committed to your hands. We got to do some background study around who Archippus was. And then from our last week's teaching, we got to realize that Archippus was not an apostle. Neither was he a prophet. Neither was he an archbishop. We found Archippus in the house of Philemon, and he was just a helper to Philemon. But in Paul's writing to the church in Colossae, Paul is telling Archippus that, hey, make sure that you take heed to the work of the ministry. Take heed to the work of the ministry. We said last week that the word take heed there is the word blepo. It means to turn your thoughts to or to direct your mind in the position of fulfilling a certain task, or to carefully examine. We also got to understand from our last week's teaching that the ministry is only in Christ Jesus. The ministry is only in Christ Jesus. You cannot fulfill the work of the ministry outside Christ. We also got to see that the work of the ministry is our service to the Lord. Is our service to the Lord. Diakonia, which means service to one. So, Paul is writing to Timothy, who was just maybe somebody who had two disciples, or somebody who had three disciples, or one disciple in the church that was in the house of Philemon, who happened to be like a wealthy man who had a slave called Onesimus. And he's telling him, Archippus, that ministry that you have given me, or that the Lord has given to you, make sure that you blepo, you take heed of that work. You give it all the diligence it requires. We also got to see how that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, how that God has reconciled us unto himself, and he has given us all the work of the ministry. So, we must be careful to say, oh, as for me, I'm just born again. I'm just born again. Being born again is the call into the work of the ministry. Today, I will be, you know, going a bit conversational with you, because I want to shoot down some beasts that will normally hinder people from fulfilling the call that God has told them, or the ministry that God has committed to their hands. So Archippus, give it all it takes. Give it all the diligence to follow it fully. Make sure your mind is on that which is your service to the Lord. It doesn't matter, Archippus, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a doctor, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a pharmacist. It doesn't matter all of this. Make sure that the ministry that God has committed to your hands, that you fulfill it. We said that the word fulfill is the word plero. You remember? We said that last week. It's the word plero. It means to fill to the top, that nothing shall be left wanting. To fill to the top, that nothing shall be left wanting. It's overflowing to its maximum. To make full proof of what has been given to you. Do it fully. Be consumed with it. Archippus, contend with that call and make sure that you fulfill it. You do it to the maximum. Make sure that the work that you have on your hands is overflowing to the maximum. Take heed, blepo, that you fulfill that work of the ministry. So, we're going to give it a very diligent pursuit. That's what we said, how, number one, we can take heed, is that we're going to give it a diligent pursuit. A diligent pursuit. We're going to give it a diligent pursuit. So that Archippus today, you are the one. Take heed. It means make sure your mind is right on that. Be conscious of. Be conscious of. Do not be negligent to the ministry that God has committed to your hands. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, some people might be thinking, these guys are wanting to build just a church. And I feel pity for some people like that. We're only trying to help you so that when you stand before God, you have something to present to Him. That's all we're trying to do, to help you. And in helping you, we also have rewards for pushing you and helping you to fulfill that ministry that God has committed to your hands. So it's not about any man. Is about what God has called you to do. And like we said, everybody is called. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everyone is called. In 18, everyone is called. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us all the ministry of reconciliation. So you can't say that God has not called me. Or God has not, you know, I think the pastor is the one, you know, that is called. I think, you know, is that apostle that is called? No, he has called you. Once you were saved, he brought you right into the ministry and he's expecting fruits from you. So we said, one of the ways that you're going to be taking heed is that you're going to pay attention to being diligent. Is to keep at it. To be diligent is to do something hard and long. You're able to keep your focus on the Lord. Make sure that you are adding hard work to that call. You know, many times, no master wants to have a slothful servant or a slothful work associate. Nobody wants to have that. I don't think so. So similarly, God expects that in taking heed of that ministry, You're going to give it all the diligence that it takes. Today we're speaking about versatile evangelism and discipleship as a ministry, is that we are going to make that part of our lives. And some people might not be saying, I just want to evangelize only on Saturday. It's only Saturday I have time. Aside all the things that we have taught you, we still have to force you to do evangelism and force you to follow up on your disciples and force you to, you know, follow up on the people you're supposed to follow up on. When you do this, you are not taking heed to the ministry that God has given to you. You're not attaching that diligence that God requires of you. So Paul is telling Archippus, take heed. Blepo, keep your eyes on the ball. Make sure that ministry God has given to you, you live to fulfill it. I can tell you one thing for sure. One of the greatest motivations I have for ministry is that I know that God is expecting something from me. As to how I know, maybe through a study of the Word of God, but in my heart somewhere, I just know that God is expecting something from me. That's my motivation for ministry, is that God is expecting something from me. I saw that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, how that He had saved us. He had saved us all and He had given to us all the ministry of reconciliation. So that gets me thinking. You know, I get thinking like, God has put something on the inside of me and He is expecting some fruits. And because I don't want to disobey Him, or I don't want to be very useless when I stand before Him, I need to be able to do something for Him. That's all. It's to know that God has called me for something. Some of you are not taking heed of that fact. You're not taking heed of that fact that God has called me for something. And that's why we still live our lives like, you know, we don't really care. So like Paul is saying to Archippus, I am saying to you, make sure your mind is on this work of the ministry. Bring all your forces and your concentrations to bear on this ministry, on your service to the Lord, in evangelism and in discipleship. You should take heed. You give it all the diligence that it requires. You know, when I went with a couple of people to a place, to a camp meeting by Bishop Dak. And when I got in there, I had a very interesting experience. In fact, I woke up from a vision of the night. And I saw that they were sailing, like we were sailing on a ship, like on a seashore. Yeah, so we're sailing on a seashore. And then something happened. We were just on the water or in the middle of the sea. And I saw some of the people that I came with for the meeting in the sea. And they were drowning. Yes. So right there in the vision of the night, I found myself, you know, someone had drunk so much water that the person was almost gone. Yeah. So I had to hit her on her chest. It's like I hit her on her chest. And then she brought the water out and I got out from there. So when I was done, we went into the service. And this was Bishop. That morning, I had it maybe the first day we came, I think the second day or into the third day. And he started teaching on making shipwreck of your faith. And I said, wow, this is the same thing I saw. That people who were around me were making shipwreck. They had drowned in the water and I had to be like a swimmer who hits the chest and they bring out water. Then I knew that many times making shipwreck of your faith is the same as making shipwreck of the ministry God has committed to your hands. Because if you were saved, then it means that not doing the ministry means you are not relevant that much to him. Some of you will never know what God planned for your life. I'm telling you, you'll never know. You'll never know until you make up your mind that you are going to follow it to the very end. That's how you know. You'd never know. If you were to be a great apostle, great prophetess, great prophet, great missionary, you never know. You never know. And the funny thing is that you'll be manager of some company or something. You think you have achieved something very important. You think you have achieved something very important. Oh, you are now a manager. You've not achieved anything. And you have not done anything. In God's sight, you are not living at all. So you need to be determined to follow it to the very end. Never say that you are stopping. Never say that you are stopping. Because you don't know what God has planned for you. So that's how you're going to take heed of the ministry he's called you to. When I say ministry, I'm talking about Christ Family. If you are in another ministry, I think you are not safe here. Because everything ministry I'm talking about here is the ministry that I am leading. Yeah, it's the ministry I'm leading. So when I say ministry, I'm talking about Christ Family. So Paul is telling Archippus, who is that young boy in the house of Philemon, and saying, Archippus, that one soul, that two disciples, those three disciples, that desire to serve God in the ministry, make sure that you are privy, you are intentional about it. Yeah. If I wasn't intentional about the ministry, I wouldn't be in the ministry today. Some people saw me flow. I was with Martina yesterday. I took her to a meeting on Zoom. And I'm sure she was saying, hey, is this our pastor? Yeah. But that probably could not have happened if I didn't take heed of the ministry. If I didn't do what God wants me to do. So there are many of you who need to start becoming very conscious. I'm telling you, it's not unconscious. Like, if God has called me, I'll do it. I don't really know. No, God has called you. So you're going to be enthusiastic about it. You're going to give your attention to it. In a lifetime, you make up your mind that you're going to pay attention to what God is telling you to do. So it is very possible to make full proof of your ministry. I was walking with somebody and I looked into the person's eyes and the Lord spoke to me very audibly, pastor of pastors. Yeah. Pastor of, I heard it very audibly. And I said, this one, if he doesn't take care, he's going to be following something, some other thing. And before you realize, he is not doing the ministry. Yeah. Yeah. So you must become very conscious about it. It's like, you know, you've heard that there is an outbreak of a certain condition, let's say called COVID-19. You must conscientize your mask systems and your mask and all of those things, so that you don't fall out into what God has called you to do. But I see you taking heed of the ministry and fully meeting its demands in Jesus' name. So I was wondering how just one meeting is already saving someone from shipwreck in the ministry. Just one meeting is saving someone from dying in the ministry. That's how I sense this teaching session is. It's like it's a door. Some people after today will enter into that door. As I teach you, just listen and open your heart and say, everything Pastor is giving me to bless me and is giving me to practically use. You're going to be blessed. So it is very possible to make full proof of your ministry, to fulfill the work the Lord has committed to your hands. And you must begin to see it as something that is of utmost importance to you because it matters to God. So we're going to look at some of the things you have to take heed on. So number one, you're going to ensure that you're going to give it the diligence that it requires. The diligence that it requires. Diligence that it requires. You see, the call and its fulfillment demands a certain kind of a diligence. I mean, look at the weather today. It's very cold. Yeah, when I come outside, I feel the cold. You still find me smuggling myself in the cold. Because the cold is not the reason why I should not do what I'm supposed to do. Because I'm taking heed. Yes, there are times where you might just say, oh, let me take a few days off and rest more. But that's not even what you have to do. You have to make sure that you are keeping at it. So you're going to give the ministry a diligence. A diligence. A diligence. If not, you will not see it the way you want to see it. I can tell you for a fact. Yeah. Many people see how that miracles. I now, it looks like I dwell there. Everybody dwells there. But it looks like me, I stay there. Yeah. The supernatural has become almost like my normal. Yeah. But it takes quite some diligence. Yeah. Quite some diligence. So in the quest to fulfill that ministry, you're going to give it diligence. You know, give it that diligence. Give it that diligence. Diligence in prayer. You cannot fulfill the ministry without a life of prayer. I can tell you for a fact. If somebody told me that, Pascal, never pray again, but do ministry, I'll close down the ministry. I'll close down the ministry. What are you doing in the ministry without prayer? You can't do anything. You can't do much. You can't even do anything. Yeah, you can't do much. I'm telling you the gospel truth. You can't do much. You can't do much. You can't do much without giving yourself to prayer in the ministry. It's not possible. It's not possible. So you're going to pay attention. You're going to pay attention. You're going to give it all the diligence that it requires. Work hard at it. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study actually there is almost like a man who is digging the ground to find out some precious ornaments. It doesn't come that easy. To follow up on your disciples, it will not come that easy. It's work to make more disciples. It doesn't come that easy. It's work. And it's hard work. And it's long work. But I see that force of diligence in your life. And you are going to be diligent to the call. Oh, let not the master call you a slothful servant. Let him not call you a slothful servant, a lazy servant. So you're going to take heed to be diligent. Everybody who stands to pray their legs hurt. Everybody. Everybody who fasts at a point in time, they might have small stomach pain. Everybody. Everybody who gives their life to fasting will suddenly become lanky and looking like they are not well. Everybody. Everybody will have something that they have to be diligent to. Everybody who is going to disciple people is going to master the craft of hearing excuses and saying, no, I can't be there, but yet still insisting and compelling everybody. So you're going to give it that diligence. Give it that diligence. Don't be somebody that likes a lot of sleep. Don't like sleep. Sleep is not good. You are too young. Don't sleep too much. When you can sleep, it's not a good thing. If you are taking up some time to actually like sleep long and all of that, there are times for that. But every time you want to be sleeping, how are you going to fulfill the ministry that God has given to you? How? Tell me. Tell me. There are several days and I've not slept. How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? So you're going to give it all the diligence. Now, I know why I have to repeat this again. Even though it's been said in the previous audio, I want to repeat it again. So you're going to handle discipleships in diligence. Handle your prayer life in diligence. Handle the call and evangelism in diligence. Handle your study in diligence. Make sure that your Bible study, your quiet times, your times where you are scheduled with the people you are following up on. Archippus, take heed to the ministry that the Lord has given to you, and that you fulfill that ministry. A second thing to take heed on, excuses. Excuses. You know, Solomon gives a very funny proverb of a man that likes to give excuses. So, normally to give an excuse is to try to justify a reason. You're trying to justify a reason. Give us a reason why you cannot serve God in the ministry. Many people have lots of excuses why they can't fulfill, they can't plow their ministries. So in Proverbs 22:13, Solomon gives a very interesting picture of a man that gives a very lousy excuse why he cannot go out and do what he has to do. Many times people who give excuses find reasons why they cannot fulfill the ministry. They can't fulfill the ministry. Something that God has called them to, they can't fulfill it. They are busy than God himself. Yeah, they are busy than God himself. They have more work to do than God himself, who happens to be the creator of the whole universe. So you'll find the lazy man oftentimes giving an excuse. And this is what he says. He says, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. So I can't go and work for the Lord. There's a lion in the street. And oftentimes it's an imaginary lion. Yeah, an imaginary lion. Oh, I can't serve the Lord because I've been so busy with corporate work, and you know, my work is becoming too tedious, and you know, I have a lot of responsibilities. Well, find a job that gives you the opportunity to serve the Lord in the ministry and drop that excuse. For every excuse that you make, somebody is in that same situation, or probably even worse off, that is still serving the Lord and giving out the reasons why they are fulfilling their ministries. You say you close at 6. Somebody closes at 9 p.m. But still, they're still serving the Lord. They never miss out on anything concerning the Lord and evangelism. So when the Lord wants to save you, he gives you wisdom to put away excuses. 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 A reason to lessen the blame. You want to lessen it. So we can, you know, Pastor, and I have been quite busy, you know, and my work is very tedious, you know, and even look at the time I close from work. And that's the main reason why. That's the main reason why. God is looking at you. And that is the reason why you might not fulfill your ministry. Because you are not taking heed. You are not taking heed. You know, the attitude of taking heed is almost likened to
Have you had a very important?
So you have an important interview. You polish your shoe. Maybe let's say a visa interview. One of those interview at the embassies. You polish your shoe. You iron your shirt. You call the Uber man that, hey, Charlie, 4:30 a.m. be at my door so that I can pick you to the airport. You've ironed. You've done everything. Your phone is charged. Your power bank is charged. The previous night, you are learning how to sit before the panel, the things you should do. That's taking it. That's pleroing. That's plero. But when it comes to the ministry, you just treat it anyhow. Yeah, you just treat it anyhow. It's God, so it's God. It is not anything. It's God. It's God. So people who will plero will make sure everything is in order such that they don't have a reason to explain why they could not make what the Lord had committed to their hands. See, someone iron sharpened the trouser can cut you. And he started ironing 2 days before the actual meeting. He's called the Uber number. At 3 o'clock, he's awake. He has taken his bath. By 3:20, he's already done. He's waiting for the Uber driver. 3:40, he has called the Uber driver. The Uber driver stays 15 minutes away. 4:30, but 4 o'clock, the Uber driver is there. That's taking heed. Taking heed. Taking heed. Don't have excuses. Let me tell you, we all have parents. Yeah, fight your own fight. Yes, we all have parents who say, no, you can't do that work. Fight your fight. It's your fight. Fight it. We all had to fight it. Yeah. We all had to fight it. I also had parents that didn't want me anything close to ministry. Today, they call me the only pastor in the house. And they give me respect. I was in Tamale a few weeks back. I went to dedicate somebody's school. Yeah. Small boy like me, I went to dedicate somebody's school. Because this thing, you will not get it with what do you call it? No. No. Because I'm taking heed of the ministry. I'm very conscious about it. Yeah, I'm very conscious about it. I learned that wisdom when I saw the corpse of my grandfather. Yeah. I saw him lying down. I saw him right there on the corpse. He couldn't speak, he couldn't talk, and he looked the same. So I gleaned on wisdom from that experience. I said, Lord, is this how I'm going to become? In me. You know, when I always thought about body, soul, spirit, I never understood it. Yeah, I thought it. I thought I understood. But when I saw a dead body, I now understood spirit and body. I understood it. Yeah. He had become so caked. And before they would lift him up, they would say, oh, with all due respect, Grandpa, we are lifting you up. And I said, this is a container. I didn't say it to you. I said it in my mind. I said, this is a container. This is a container. For the dead, they've lifted him up. They say, okay, now we have warned him the same way. Let him lie down. And then they now said, Pascal, come and say hi to him that you are going. I couldn't stay for even his burial because I had another ministerial meeting. Reverend Ronayinka was in Ghana by then. I couldn't even stay for his burial. I was the first grandson. I could have said, you know, it's too abomination. Let me just stay back and do. No, he's gone. Let the dead bury the dead. We are still living. Allow us do what we are supposed to do. The dead, let them bury the dead. Yeah. The dead should bury the dead. At least we are still living. So we have that opportunity to redeem ourselves. I saw him lying there. He almost had a very nice sort of, don't know whether it's a smile or it's a thought. And I was looking at him. And I said, I will never be tired in Jesus' name. That's the motivation from that experience that I had. I said, I'm going to work for the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to work for the Lord. So when I feel like, you need to take a break, I remember that corpse. And I'm like, no, you need to actually work. Because when you become like that, you can't do anything. The time has already passed. Blepoing, taking heed. put away the excuses or why you cannot do the ministry. You can't serve God. You can't follow God. You are too busy. You're too busy. Your friends are saying, and they are laughing at you. Me, friends and laughing at me has never been the reason why I can't do the ministry. In fact, when I started even doing the ministry, people didn't even know I was into the ministry and I was serving the Lord. And I didn't even care about what some friend had to say. Oh, he was just a pastor, we knew him. That's your case. So the man that is slothful will say that there is an imaginary lion in the streets. That's what he will say. Because he doesn't want to go, there is no lion. There is an imaginary lion. So I can't go out and do what is expected of me. There is an imaginary lion. There is an imaginary reason. They said the ministry is very hard. Me, I don't want to be those sorts of mommy or of mommy. I just want to just be somebody that goes to church and, you know, not stress myself. Just be around, you know. That's not my style, you know. I just want to look very posh. When you stand before Jesus, you tell him that. So the slothful man, the man that gives an excuse, the man that is lazy will say, there is something ahead. That's why I can't do ministry. That's why I can't do ministry. My boyfriend said he doesn't like the fact that I'm always sharing my pastor. That's all. A slothful man, a lazy man, a man that likes to give excuses why he can't serve the Lord will find a very lousy excuse for you. Very lousy excuse. But you're not like that. So make sure that you don't have an excuse. Why? I'm going to marry. Oh, I'm going to marry. To hell with pastor. Ministry. I'm going to marry. That's my decision. Must we fight ourselves? Must we force ourselves? Me, I want to marry. Now I want to marry. Now it's just marriage I want to marry. Okay, go and marry. Who even come for your wedding? You see me there with somebody else. And I'll smile at you. And I'll rejoice with you. But I know you are like Judas. You have been taken out of God's plan. Yeah. And that's not my case. And my case is to make sure that people who want to stay are staying, and I'm teaching them, and they are doing the work of the ministry. Because of your masters, you don't want to serve God. So take heed of that ministry. Is somebody entering and no door return from the ministry? Is somebody entering? Like you feel like I'm entering something. There is no return. There's no return. There's nothing like I'm going back. So you're going to be diligent. You can take heed on the excuses that you give. My boss says I should fly with him to Somalia. I should fly with him to Dubai. I should go with him here. I should do that. Hey, don't say that thing. Me, I'm an example of taking heed. I can tell you for a fact. Go to my files, you see. Yeah, I stand to say this. Those of you who know Unicom Chemist, I was going to be the manager of the main Unicom Chemist branch in Accra at Malam. You can go and ask anybody. Yeah, you can go and ask anybody. I was going to be there. Yeah, I was going to be there, and I was going to be giving very, very interesting incentives. Yeah, if you think I don't know what I'm about, I'm just walking and telling people to take heed on the ministry, take heed on this, they should not sell. Go and ask, they'll tell you. By the time I started working there into 3 months, the sales had shot up over triple, quadruple times. Go and ask, they'll tell you. Yeah. But I had to say, it feels like I will not have time for the ministry. I'm writing reports. I'm doing sales, balancing, whatever, monthly, whatever. I said, this thing is good, but the position I am is very slippery. have to take heed right here. And I can tell you what was happening in my heart. I woke up from a vision of the night. That is what saved my life and my ministry. I can tell you. Yeah. That's what saved my life and my ministry. That experience is what saved my life and my ministry. I saw a father of the faith. And he walked to me in the dream. In a dream. He walked to me in the dream. And he was crying. He was in tears. Yeah, and I said, what is wrong? And I don't know, I just found myself kneeled down right there in the vision. And he said, Lord, that's the prayer he prayed for me. He said, save your servants from the spirit of worldliness and finances. I'm not quoting exactly what he said. I can't even quote what he said. Yeah, he was in tears on my his hands were on my head. And he said, Lord, this one, save him from it. Save him from it. I'm going to talk about it. It's another thing that you should take heed of. So when I woke up, I knew that there was serious trouble. There was serious trouble. Because at that point in time, they were telling me, next month you'll be made manager. You have to lecture also here. So I was in the shop and I was lecturing. Yeah. And he came to me and he cried, was in tears. He laid hands on me and said, save this one. And he was sobering. I woke up from the dream. I felt, this is something. This is something. Yeah. November, I wrote my resignation letter. It was a shock to the company. Because if you not allow me to serve God, I don't know why I should be with you. If you won't allow me to serve, I don't know why I should be. If you always want me around, I can't be with you. So it's either I leave and find somewhere that helps me do that. That's all. Because I'm taking heed of that ministry God has committed to my hands. Look at the miracles that we see. Look at the things that are happening. If I had not taken heed, I would not be here. I would have been saying, you know, those times I thought I was called into the ministry, but I was not really called like that. That's the folly of not taking heed. You start to give reasons why you feel you should not be into the ministry. You start to give those reasons. So anybody that tells them, these small boys that have come, they don't have anything to do. They are just telling them, my pastor is not the same. My pastor is not the same. He's taking heed. He's taking heed. Some of you are busier than God. That's why you can't serve God. You feel like I'm so busy and, you know, I have to move here and there and I have to be here and there. You're giving us big grammar. Why? You can't serve God. Archippus, take heed of that ministry that the Lord has given to you, that you fulfill it. That you fulfill it. Another thing to take heed on. We're moving on. Take heed that you stay focused on the work. There's a difference between diligence, a difference between excuses, also a difference between focus on the work. So you employ focus on the work. Be convinced that God chose you for this. Be convinced that God chose you for this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, and James chapter 1, verse 8. Focus on the work. Matthew 6:22, James 1:8. Focus on the work. Never be distracted. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. So you keep a focus on the work. Make sure your eyes are on the work. When you find somebody being a distraction to the work, put them out. My mind is very strong. I thought you can learn from me. Yeah, you can learn from me by the grace of God. I don't have anything that is like a distraction. I don't have it. Yeah, I don't have it. I don't have it. Even if you tell me today, stop using a smartphone, I will be happy. I don't have anything that is like a distraction. I can't do without. I can't. No, because my mind is 100% focused on the work. Yeah, 100% focused. 100% focused on the work. So you're going to keep a single mind. That's what it means to be focused. A single mind on the work. A single mind on the work. It's not like your girlfriend and the work. No, no. It's not girlfriend and the work. It's the work. It's the work first. Yeah. It's not your business. Thinking and worrying about. It's like your business first and the work second. No. A focus first on the work. Focus first on the work. If not, you become like a double-minded man, as James will state in James 1:8. And he is unstable in all his doings. Today he is enthused about prayer and discipleship. Tomorrow he's very slow about it. Today he's happy about it. Tomorrow he's very slow about it. Oh, it's like he's okay. The next time is that, Pastor, you know. No. Keep a very focused mind. So a double-minded man is unstable. He wanes. Because their persecution is going to come. And you are going to win. Yeah. Win through them. So you're going to keep a focus. Some of you just have one boyfriend. He's already destroying your heart. Making you feel like you can't serve God. You can't do this. You can't do that. What's that? I mean, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to let something like that take your attention off what God has called you to do? Why do you have to do that? I'm telling you, I'm very, very focused. You can ask anybody around me that knows me very well. I don't win. It's either I die or I'm focused. That's it. I don't have any distractions like some PS5 so I can't pray. No, you are not serious yet. You see PS5, you can't even play it. You can't even play the PS4 or 5. You can't even play. You see it there, but you can't play. That's a focused mind. You see it's there, but you can't play. You can't play. You can't play. Sometimes I wake up, I read, I sleep, I wake up, I read, I pray, I read. That's my life. Yeah. So you're going to learn to keep a focus on the ministry. Some of you just need to get an opportunity. You ditch the ministry. You hop on that opportunity. But don't be like that. Don't be like that. Your uncle just needs to call you and tell you that there's an opportunity in London. You should fly over. You will not even pray. You will not even talk to pastor. The next time we'll have your number is +211. +444. +2232. Pastor, Pastor, it was impromptu. You know, I had to leave. Shame on you. You ditch God's plan for convenience. Never do that. 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 Never ditch God's plan for convenience. Never do that. Suffer to enter the ministry. Yeah, suffer to enter the ministry. All these things that you see, I believe that God saw and he said, this guy's trying. He's not obedient, maybe, but he's trying to. Let me just give him what he wants. Yeah, he's trying to be obedient. Yeah, he's trying. He's trying. He asked for miracles. Let me give it to him. He asked to see and hear and know. Let me just give it to him. He's trying. He's trying to be obedient. So you must keep a focus on the ministry. Take heed, O Archippus. I see you entering into the ministry. I see you entering. I see you entering into the ministry. That door. Today is opening your end. You never look back again. You never look back again. It's like a door of no return. So you're going to keep a focus. Don't be confused. Even Cristiano Ronaldo is not confused. He knows he's called as a footballer, so he keeps his focus. You never find him, hey, Cristiano Ronaldo, what's going on? I'm going to play basketball for the tournament. Yeah, I'm going to play basketball. He doesn't have time for basketball. He plays football. That's what his focus is on. That's what his focus is on. That's what he has his heart on. So you also need to keep that focus on the work of the ministry. Keep your mind focused. Yeah? Keep your mind focused. Keep it locked on the work. You're entering into the ministry in Jesus' name. You're entering that door. I see that God's word is opening that door. And you're entering into the ministry. And your ministry will never be the same. Yes, your ministry will never be the same. 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 In Jesus' name. The next thing to take heed on. The next thing to take heed on. Take heed on worldliness. Wherever you are. Let's just begin to speak in tongues in 1 minute.
Amen. 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 So take heed
on worldliness. Take heed on worldliness. You know, this is almost like a counterpoint to doing well spiritually and living a God-centered life. They don't go together. Yes, they are counterpoints. They are two direct opposite things to do. Worldliness. The love of. The attachment to the things that are in contrast with God's word. To take heed on the ministry, you have to resist worldliness. You are attached to. You are in love with. It's easy to say, no, I'm not. You know, pastor, take heed is what it is. It means be watchful. Put your mind on these things that, this thing I'm supposed to take heed on worldliness. So, in taking heed to the ministry, you have to be watchful or take heed on this attitude of worldliness. To be worldly will mean that you embrace, you conform to the attitudes, the habits, the principles of this temporal world. You embrace, like you love it. You have attitudes that are similar to the world. Principles that are temporal. Or principles that are, you know, very likely to this temporal world. Instead of adhering to other principles or standards that are set by God. You love the things of the world. Many times we're excited about prioritizing worldly pleasures, possessions, desires over the ministry. These things create a barrier of you making foolproof and you fulfilling the Lord's ministry handed to your hands. So worldliness. I want us to drop this sequentially. 1 John 2:15 to 17. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Another person should open Colossians 3:2. The third person opens James chapter 4 verse 4. It means you will drop it here when I ask for it. Then the fifth person, 1, 2, 3, 4, fourth person, Titus 2 verse 12. Titus 2 verse 12. We're going to run through the scriptures. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. James chapter 4 verse 4. Titus chapter 2 verse 12. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14. So you're going to take heed. The attitudes that are of the world. The principles that are of the world. The standards that are set by the world. We don't conform to those worldly standards. If you will fulfill your ministry, you will have to take heed of this, of worldliness. Worldliness. You have to take heed on worldliness. The quest to be worldly. Yeah. Many of you don't know that. Even looking in a certain way siphons the anointing and it siphons the grace of God. Yeah, I can tell you for a fact. Yeah. Some of you are dying to get MacBook. If they can just give me MacBook, I'll change my mind in Jesus' name. Oh, what a weak conscience. If they can just give me an iPhone 14, that's the iPhone 14, iPhone 13 Pro, or I don't even know their name, so when I make mistakes, iPhone 13 Pro Max or something, or iPhone 15, I just want the latest iPhone. Oh. And because of that, you're entertaining some politician, you're entertaining some married man, you are replying texts here and there, just because you want to fit in. You can't fulfill the ministry with that mind. Some of the guys are gadget hungry. You have to siphon that desire, stop that desire. Look, cut it. Yeah. I'm not lying to you. If you give me iPhone 25, it will not do anything to me. It will not change my emotions in any way. Those things don't do anything to me. Yeah, those things don't have any effect. They have zero effect on me. Zero effect on me. That's why you see that I use an iPhone 6. And even the reason why I'm using an iPhone 6, maybe it's because I'd already prior had my stuff on Apple. That's the only reason. I don't have any competitive mind of using iPhone 12, iPhone 10. Now, if somebody buys it for me, doesn't mean that I'm not going to say, oh no, I'm not going to take. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I don't have my heart on any of those things. Now, I'm also not against the use of those things. I'm against the, you know, that spirit of covetousness and worldliness that makes you feel part of whatever group you are in. If you don't have it, you don't feel you belong. You have to kill those desires. Yeah. Some of you are dying to have certain clothes. You want to look in a certain way. Yeah. You want to look in a certain way. You want to present yourself in a certain kind of a way. You have pierced your ears, pierced your nose, pierced your tongue, pierced your hair, pierced your navel, pierced your feet, pierced everywhere. Because you want to look in a certain way. It doesn't go with serving the Lord actively. It's the spirit of wealthiness. Many people are in competitions today with themselves. Yeah. The whole reason why they are actually buying the car is not because they need a car. It's because their neighbor has gone to buy a car. So they want to also prove a point that, oh, since you bought a car, I can also buy a car. And you find them killing themselves, especially if their neighbor is richer than them. What kind of a wahala is this? Worldliness. Worldliness is pure worldliness. It's pure worldliness. Yeah, I had one shoe for a very long time. Yeah. I never had the problem that it's not that I couldn't buy. I just decided that I was just going to flow with this. That was all. worldliness. Sometimes the worldliness is beauty. The ladies. Yeah. The gentleness, cravings, gadgets, technologies. Mm. Sometimes even having a certain speck of a girlfriend is a sign of certain, you know, you want to also match up with your friends. Oh, my girlfriend is very curvy. That's a worldliness. But you know she's not born again, or she's not into ministry, and she's not serving the Lord. Yeah. Oh, my girlfriend is very beautiful and she looks very nice. Worldliness. It's just pure. When you go beneath it, it's trying to fit in a standardized world. It's trying to fix yourself in there. iPhones, laptops, clothes, presentation, looks, beauty. Beauty. We're not saying don't look beautiful. But when there is an obsession of how you look, everything is like you are obsessed. When you see a mirror, you can't pass by. You need to stand there and look at yourself and admire yourself and say, I look too good. I feel too good. I want this thing to. It's all the same. All this. The world that thinks like that. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, wearing panty and eating locust and honey. All he does is to preach. The prophet Isaiah is preaching naked because God told him to preach naked. Worldliness. But the man who will take heed on the ministry will have to kill those appetites that he has on worldliness. You need to have a very, you know, controlled appetite on worldliness. Yeah, it's actually a spirit. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Can we hold on with the comments? Thank you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He says, if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love the world and love the Father, people of God. If all that is in the world, he calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He says it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Lord, he abideth forever and ever. It means whatever you lay your hands on for the Lord, it doesn't pass away in this physical earth. Whatever it is that you lay your hands on for the Lord, it does not pass away on this physical earth. What a blessing it is. The lust of the flesh, things that are fleshly, food, alcohol, cravings, sexual fantasies. It doesn't go with taking. If you don't take heed on this, you can't fulfill the ministry. Imagine we read that Paul had a girlfriend that he was sleeping with in Ephesus when he went to visit her in Ephesus. Imagine, just imagine, Apostle Paul, who will listen to him? So you cannot have the world at heart. Sometimes it's just the pride of life. You want a certain prestigious countenance, and you want men to receive you in a certain way, and you want to be appreciated wherever you go. You want everybody to take note of you that you are coming. People should lie down so you can step on them. No, it doesn't work like that. Take heed on worldliness. Take heed on worldliness. O Archippus, take heed on worldliness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Our time is very short. We'll have to run on this very quickly. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The next verse is James 4, verse 4. So you're going to set your minds. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are earthly. To set is to keep your attention on, is to take heed on the things that are above and the things that are not on the earth. I tell you, I thank God that He has helped my heart to set my affections on the things that are above and not the things that are beneath or the things that are earthly. Set your affections on the things that are above and the things that are not on the earth. Many of us have our attention set on the things that are on the earth. One time I remember a sister from the U.S. bringing me some artifacts. And I saw somebody just pick the watch. And he was the mine. It was my dad. He was just at mine. Just at mine. Wow, the watch is just mine. I said, oh, if you want it, you can take it. He was shocked. Those things don't do anything to me. They don't change anything. They don't make me happy. They don't make me excited. They don't make me okay. They don't make me full. I don't have any affections for those things. Because my mind is set on things that are above. Titus chapter 2 verse 12. We'll read James chapter 4 verse 4, which they have already posted. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Friendship of the world is enmity with God. You can't be friends with the world. Have worldly friends. Have worldly ambitions. Have worldly things. Now, when I say worldly, it doesn't mean it's... It just means it has this origin that is not in correspondence with God's will. It's worldly. It's just of the world here. Don't have multiple girlfriends that you do things with. Don't do that. It says, enmity with the world is not the same with God. You can't have the world and you are still with God. It doesn't happen. God does not have friends that are worldly. So in Titus chapter 2 verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. We're going to live soberly, righteously in this present world. We deny all forms of ungodliness. Take heed of worldliness, people of God. Take heed that you may fulfill that ministry. That's why all of these things is Paul telling Archippus. Hey, make sure you blepo your eyes on this work of the ministry. We don't have time. I'll rush through the two that you should take heed on. Take heed on responding timely, or take heed that you respond timely enough to this work of the ministry. Yeah. Oftentimes, obedience is directly corresponding. It corresponds directly to time. Imagine I sent you to go and buy me something. I was hungry. You came back 2 days after. It's not the same. I would have gotten something else to eat. It's not the same. So now that you are young, is the time where you're supposed to respond to the ministry early. Because it takes a long time to know God. I can tell you. It takes a while to be truly graced and anointed. It doesn't just come overnight. Yeah, look at when you started knowing me till today. It doesn't just happen like that. Anybody you see God using mightily has over the years taken heed, you know, grown themselves and groomed themselves over the time. So make sure that you respond early. Respond timely. Oh, Archippus, respond timely. One disciple, but make sure you respond. So I've realized that it's important for us to respond early. I've realized that it's important for us to make up our minds to respond early. Don't say you are doing this, you are doing that. You know, you are waiting here. 72 years in you've completed primary 2. It's not an achievement. It's a little achievement. Because 72, when are you going to go to primary 3, primary 4, primary 5, JHS 1, JHS 2, form SHS, it's not an achievement. So you learn to respond now that you are young, you're exuberant, you can serve God, you can do what God wants. Now is the time where you have to respond. So the effect is not the same. Yeah. When God told me to get into the ministry and pay attention to it, he said that, Pascal, if you wait for a number of years, it will not be the same. Yeah, it won't be the same. And I knew it. I had to respond to it immediately. Yeah, he told me it will not be the same. The effect will not be the same. Even your ministrations and your flow, it will not be the same. It won't be the same. So the effect is not always the same. When you delay on many things, some of you should make up your mind to stay in the ministry. Be part of Christ's family. We are going somewhere. Before you start playing around, 5 years' time, you come, things have already happened and you have lost your place. So there's a time frame that you can make up your mind. Make it up right now. And don't stay any longer. You know, Judas didn't make up his mind, you know, because of worldliness. Right? Yes. I want you to see that scripture in Acts chapter 1:20. How that he lost his bishopric and another man had to come and take it. Some of you are supposed to respond promptly. Prompt like Christ's family. This pastor helps me. He teaches me. Hey, let's stay. Let's serve God. I've been growing since I joined this ministry. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, that call, give it to another person. Another person should take it. Another person. That's what happens when you don't respond early. You don't respond early. Yeah. I knew one person, and I wanted her to do something for me. And I saw that she was walking around, and, you know, I said, I said it in my heart, let another take her bishopric. Somebody should fill in there. Yes. That was all. Let another take the thing she was supposed to do. Let's give it to another person. And I gave it to another person. So you make sure that you take heed on the ministry. Respond early. Respond early. Are you listening? Respond now. Respond now. Get on it now. Don't say that, my mother, I can't respond. I have to travel to Dubai. Hey, take heed now. Another thing you should take heed. Last thing. I think I have to. Take heed on being more open to secular words and advice than spiritual advice or words. Take heed on that. I would have taken time to explain that, but it looks like there's no time. So take heed on being more open to secular words and advice than spiritual advice and words. Some of you have people around you who are speaking secular things into your ears. You know, why you should. Hey, take heed of it. Secular words, advices. Spiritual over spiritual advices, it can cause you not to fulfill your ministry. Some of you are not supposed to leave the country, but you are leaving. It can make you not fulfill your ministry again. Simple as that. You have left from one nation to the other. You will not do it again. Before you realize in 2 years' time, you are calling us, then that the weather is cold, you can't pray, you have always been busy. That's all. You are out. You are out of it. So take heed that you don't listen to secular advices over spiritual advices that the Lord gives to you. Yeah. And the last thing you should take heed on your first love. We don't have time. Take heed on your first love. The way you used to pray, the way you used to study, the way you used to love evangelism, the way you used to desire the things of the Spirit. Take heed on those things that your first love for the Lord and how enthusiastic you were about the Lord. Make sure it does not end. Take heed on that. Take heed on your first love. Go back to the things you used to do. Go back to the things that when some of you got born again, you could speak in tongues and pray for long and pray. What is happening to that activity now? Some of you, when you got born again, you were so hungry and thirsty for knowledge. You always call in. You always text. Nowadays, you feel like you are a mama or you are a papa. Take heed. You are losing your ministry. Just watch. You are losing it. Yes. Some of you could cry. Now you don't remember the last time you cried. You don't remember. Go back and go and cry. The way you used to cry. Go back and go and cry. You used to cry in worship. When you hear worship song, the next thing that happens, you are just eulogizing God. We can't find it again. It's like now you are dry-eyed. You can't cry. You can't cry. You don't know how to cry. Because you are in a hurry to leave that place where you are even praying. You want to go. You want to go. Those times you wake up, you feel God's presence in your room. You can't find it. You just wake up, you just jump out. You are off. You are busy. No, take heed on those things. It's almost like a step to losing out on what God wants you to do. So take heed, the last thing I'll tell you on your first love. Father, thank you for tonight. And thank you that men and women are entering into their places of ministry. They are fulfilling that call upon their lives. I pray for whoever is gathered in here, they receive strengthenings in the name of Jesus. Walk into your ministries in Jesus' name. Walk into those gates that the Lord has opened tonight via the teachings in the name of Jesus. Walk into those areas that God has called you into. Fulfill the ministry. Become a giant in the realm of the spirit. Become relevant with God and his plan. Become relevant with what God is doing in Accra today, what God is doing in Ghana today, what God is doing in Africa today, and what God is doing in the whole wide world. Find your place in the ministry. Your bishopric another man will not take. Your bishopric another man will not take. Your bishopric another man will not take. In the name of Jesus, if you were going to take steps that will take you out of the ministry tonight, by my prayer, I pray for you. You will not miss out on those steps of the ministry the Lord has called you into. And yea, you are fulfilling that ministry in Jesus' name. And so I say to you, as the Lord had commanded, say to Archippus, make sure that you fulfill that ministry, and you will fulfill it. You will walk in it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be blessed. Amen.